First of all, let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I blame it on the holidays. The December 18th meeting of the CORE Regional MPO will now come to order. The CORE MPO is holding an in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be presented by staff, other business, status report on current projects and activities, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board will then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and we will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. First on our agenda is committee reports. All right, let's, Miss Asia.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good
morning.
So the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee and the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee both met this December and endorsed all action items.
All right. Ms. Dan.
Morning.
Deanna, can you please turn on the microphone?
Good morning. So the Technical Coordinating Committee met on December 12th. We endorsed all action items and we also held our elections. The chairperson will continue to be me and the co-chair is Kayla Brown.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Let me go to Ms. Wilson. Anything from the executive? All right. It'll come up later down the line.
Okay. Well, the only thing that, as I said, was going to be the meeting schedule.
All right. Okay. Now let us go. We're going to the action items. Approval of the October 23rd, 2024 CORE MPO board meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I move for the approval of the October 23rd, 2024 CORE MPO board meeting minutes. Palumbo.
Property motion is second that the minutes from the October 23rd meeting be approved. Are you ready for the question? Any questions? All in favor? Let's start at the end. Please announce who you are and your vote.
Lee Beckman, Georgia Ports Authority, aye.
DJ Cody, Chatham Area Transit, aye.
Callanan, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right.
Thank you.
Now, let us move on to item number two, which is election of the chairman and the board. All right. Since we did not have a nominating committee, that means all nominations and all elections come from the floor. Floor is open now.
I make a nomination if it's in order that we keep the same slate of offices that we currently have.
Is there a second to that?
Is there any other nomination?
No. That's not the way you do it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right. You have to place it in the nomination. All right. So he placed it in the nomination. Now, if you want to nominate somebody else, then you have to place that person's name in the, and then we'll go to the vote. All right. Okay. Is there someone else who want to nominate?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Just for the good of the order, I'd like to make my intentions well known that I'm actively seeking the position of chairman of this board. We have had incredible and capable leadership since the last 4 years that I've been on it, and it's been an incredible honor to serve with the chairman. But I know that we do better when we work together and would have an incredible opportunity and an honor to serve as your chairman for these next 2 years. We've gone through an ambitious and robust redistricting process since the following census, and amended our bylaws to give us the ability to establish best practices to select a new chairman. So in the wise words of our former board member, Les Fussell, I know it was a big intention point for him to have the ability to have a rolling chairmanship. While I greatly respect and admire the chairman's leadership over his tenure, I would like to make it well known that it would be an honor for me to serve you all as your chairman. Thank you.
So you're placing your name in nomination?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, okay, let's get to it. Anybody else placing any other nomination? Anybody else? All right. Now, somebody has to make a motion to close on said names or do whatever we want to do. So that has to come from you all. And now let me say this, too. In order to, it has to be the elected officials, right?
Yes.
Okay. That hold the office. All right. Not to speak or not to vote. It's just for the office. All right. Okay. I just want to make sure we got the rules and regulations clear. So now, are there any more nominations from the floor? Are there any more?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move that we close nominations.
All right. Move that we close on said name, said nominations. Is there a second?
Palumbo, second.
You may vote. Gotten to my left. Yeah, we're voting on closing. We're voting on closing.
Proctor, yes. Sorry.
Okay.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Cody?
Cody, yes.
Beckman, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. Now, having said that, let me do this since my name is in there. Ms. Executive Director, will you come take the mic? All right, now what you need to do now is you need to call for the vote, and for those, it doesn't matter to me which way you start or how you go.
Okay. We've got two candidates for chair of the MPO, and what we can do is start the vote with the motions in order that they were received, in order to be fair. So all that would like to continue with the same slate of officers that we have now, please vote, going from Ms. Proctor to Mr. McCrory. So basically, you're voting to keep the same slate of officers, which would be Chester Ellis as the chairperson and Mayor Van Johnson as the vice chairperson.
Proctor, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, no.
Milton, yes.
Melder, no.
Kegler, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Yes. Lee.
Beckman, yes.
Nope. I'll go Palumbo, no, just for the good of the cause.
All right. Ellis, yes. So what's your count?
Okay. So,
what's your count?
The assistant was keeping, what's the total number? Eight. Eight in favor of keeping the current slate of officers that we have.
And
so that means that Mr. Ellis will remain the chair.
All right. Not only that now.
And that the mayor
the nomination of Savannah will be, was that you keep the vice chair as well.
So. Just going to say that.
Oh,
and
okay.
That the mayor,
all right.
Okay.
I just want to make sure. All right.
You have done this a couple. Yeah. And that the mayor of Savannah will remain as the vice chair.
All right.
Well, we just did a slate, so it doesn't matter. It could be done at the same time. We're fine. We're fine.
Madam Executive, one thing I'd like to, and I know we didn't have a chance to do it this year, but I'd ask that the chair appoint a nominating committee, and next election we have a slate presented to us.
I concur with that. That could be something that we can add to the bylaws if you would like, so that that's part of the record, and we will make that adjustment and have you vote on it at the next meeting.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right, we're through with that?
We're through with that. Thank you very
ma'am.
Much.
We go back to the agenda now. Going back to the agenda, we go to item number 4, and Ms. Wakota.
So we're not going to do the vice chair?
Vice chair, we did do. We did 2-1.
Okay.
All right.
I just want to make sure.
Okay.
Okay, I will give the presentation on the 2050 MTP amendments. As you may remember, since the IIJA or BIL passed, the federal government made a lot of discretionary funds available to the municipalities, to local governments or agencies, and they don't have to come to the MPO. So it was very, very confusing. But recently, we actually finally got some guidance from Federal Highway Administration. So any grants that passing through Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration, you have to make sure if either your projects included in the MPO's Metropolitan Transportation Plans and Transportation Improvement Programs, or if it's a planning study, it has to come through us, through the UPWP, Unified Planning Work Program. So that's the new direction we got. So for this 2050 MTP amendments, we are amending two projects. So one of them is the Volterra project that the private company got the money, but since the money comes through Federal Highway Administration, we have to amend this project we include this project in the 2050 MTP, but there's a cost estimate increase. And then there's another one, the City of Savannah actually got a reconnecting community, SS4A grant. SS4A grant, and that is for 37th Street improvements, and we are amending this project because this is a project, so we have to include it in the 2050 MTP. So and in the future, Federal Highway and Federal Transit will send us a table, so we track these grants separately from the regular program funds. So as you can see, for the 2050 MTP, we have the 4 discretionary grant. So GPA has one project, and City of Savannah has this I-16 accident ramp removal, that one, and then also Volterra and then 37th Street. So in the future, when you apply for those funds, make sure that we send you a letter of support. And then when you got the funds, make sure come to us so that we can include that information so we don't delay your access of funds. So I just want to mention this. So for this amendment, we have basically increased the cost estimate for the Volterra project, because when we adopted the 2050 MTP in August, we didn't get the full picture of these projects. We assumed the 20% local match. So that's about $1.9 million. As you can see, the Volterra is actually overmatching. So it's $18 million. So the total cost for this project is $26 million. So we need to make the amendments reflect this. And the SS4A, the City of Savannah got is brand new. So we want to make sure that we include it in the MTP and the TIP, and then City can start to sign agreements with FHWA so they can start access the funds. We did advertise for our public comment period 15-day, and this is the last day. And we also advertised for a public hearing at this meeting. So far, we haven't received any comments on these projects because these additional funds to our area. So it seems like everybody's like it. So we haven't received any comments. So that's my presentation. If you have any questions, just let me know. I think FHW NFT is still trying to figure out the guidelines. They still haven't issued any written guidelines, but based on our conversation, that's what they give us. So if your funds are coming through like Federal Rail Administration or Aviation Administration, they don't have to come to the MPO. So you can just sign agreements. But if it comes through FHW FTA, make sure it comes through at MPO.
All right, any questions? Any questions from anyone? Let me ask us, and this is for everyone, especially elected officials and all who plan, all who are in the pipeline to get monies from any of the federal agencies, all right? Have you been into any contact with anybody about anything changing between after January 20th? Because we have one, and I'll just use this for instance, so that I can put your thinking caps on, okay? Transportation has one Secretary of Transportation now, but that's not the way it's going to be after January 20th. Do we anticipate, or are we talking to those departments about any anticipation of any changes in how this thing is structured? Do we have any conversation with anyone?
We've been in conversation with the folks at the National Metropolitan Planning Organizations. We will be meeting in January before the transition, on January the 5th, actually. And I will be in attendance at the meeting.
And also, we have quarterly coordination meetings with FHW, FD, and GDOT. And the next one is this Friday. So we can ask that question.
So that was on the national level so that we're all having this conversation, but we also have Joseph Longo, who is on the phone, who will also be able to answer or respond to that as well. And he's with FHWA.
Is that somebody on the line?
He's on the line.
All right. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Identify yourself and give us your insight.
Thank you, Melanie. Joe Longo with Federal Highway Administration. Just wanted to chime in and explain that these discretionary funds and the current funding is authorized under the current transportation authorization bill, or IIJA. That is in effect until 2026. So this is not going to change in January. That funding again comes from the legislation. So we'll continue to work with the MPO staff on any changes that do relate to the administration change. But as of now, everything should remain consistent.
Thank you for that insight. All right.
Thank you.
Anything else, all right? All righty.
We can open the public hearing. Yeah.
All right. We have to have a public hearing. Let me get my instructions. May I have a motion to open the public hearing on this issue?
Mr. Chairman, move to open the hearing. Palumbo.
Beckman, second.
Second. Milton.
All right, the proper motion is second that the public hearing be open and ready for the question. Please cast your vote, starting with my far right. Donnie Lee. Open the public hearing.
You want me to make comments on it?
No, I want you to make a yes.
Oh, yes.
Cody, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes. Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Chairman, yes. The public hearing is now open. All right. And we are talking about the projects list that Ms. Wakoda just went through and the planning for it. Plus, we are making administrative changes, right? Because the numbers have increased. Am I making sure that the public understand what we're talking about?
Yeah, we're making the two highlighted ones are the ones that we're making changes to.
Those are the ones, and that's what we have in the public hearing on.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
On the changes that are made, but they need to know, like, for instance, the price went up from $9 million to $12 million, all right, and from $7 million, well, from $18 to $26. So that's what we have in the public hearing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Volterra's price increased is basically from $9 million to $26 million, and 37th Street is brand new.
Right, 37th Street. Any comments from Since this public hearing, anybody from the city want to make comments about that 37th Street?
Mr. Chairman, Palumbo here. We're just very excited to be the recipient of the Safe Streets for All Implementation Grant, which is a federal program began under Secretary Buttigieg to get transportation safety dollars into the hands of specifically municipalities and dangerous traffic corridors where traffic death is especially prevalent. So we're proud to bring this one forward, to have it included in this table for projects, and look forward to sharing this expertise to open our arms to any other municipalities or governments. It was a difficult hill to climb. It took many years for us to be able to be in receipt of these federal funds, but we're going to do better when we can replicate the success throughout the region. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else now? Do we have any raised hands on?
Yeah, we do have Dr. Shepard.
All right, go ahead. Identify yourself.
Can you unmute yourself?
Good morning. This is Dr. Shabazz.
All right.
Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I would say that the city of Savannah is grateful to the award that we received for the Safe Streets for All. It's going to be such a benefit for our citizens here in the city of Savannah with the corridor being enhanced with the street crossing, all of the items that is going to come with the federal funding. So again, we are looking forward to continuously being active with our grant applications. I want to take a time to give kudos to our city manager, Jay Milner, who stays on top of this for us and making sure that our applications are in on time and that we are recipients in receiving these types of funds. So that's what I wanted to say in reference to this item, these items.
All right. Anyone else?
No, sir.
We're going to have any on the board members present or anybody in the audience present who wanted to speak on this issue? Hearing none. Let me have a motion to close the public hearing.
I move to close the hearing, Palumbo.
Second, Milton.
Proper motion, second, that the public hearing be closed. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my far left.
Proctor, yes. Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Cody, yes.
Beckman, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right, public hearing is closed. All right, we ready to move on?
I'm just a vote. Approve.
Vote to approve. Wait, I'm sorry. You're right. Motion.
Mr. Chairman, I vote to approve the list.
The second.
Proper motion, the second, that the list be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my right.
Beckman, yes.
Cody, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes. Proctor, yes.
All right. Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Ms. Asia?
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I will be giving the TIP amendment report. So before I get into the report, I want to give some background knowledge first, just because this TIP amendment is a little bit more complicated than the normal TIP amendment. So in October, the Georgia Department of Transportation made us aware that there were some unobligated funds that were at risk of lapsing at the end of fiscal year 2025. And so we had to rededicate those funds to other projects before they lapse. And also the STBG funds are not at risk of lapsing, but the TA funds and the CRP funds are at risk of lapsing in September 2025. So within this TIP amendment, specifically with Chatham County projects, we did rededicate the at-risk funds to some projects for Chatham County. In addition to that, We also added an amendment request from the Georgia Department of Transportation on December 11th after it was found to be missing from the original report. The TCC did endorse this addition and endorse the other amendment requests within this report. And then lastly, this is a pretty long report, so please feel free to stop me with any questions, comments, or corrections. So that's just the background. I'll just jump into it. So CORMPO received several TIP amendment requests. We received them from Chatham Area Transit, FHWA, Chatham County, and the Georgia Department of Transportation. In terms of the public participation process, that began on December 4th and it ends today on December 18th. So far, we have not received public comment on the TIP amendment report, but we have received comments from the Georgia Department of Transportation, Chatham County, and Effingham County, and we made sure to address those before this meeting today. And additionally, this TIP amendment report was advertised as a public hearing. So moving into the specifics of the amendments, the first amendment is to amend the STIP/TIP amendment process. So the STIP/TIP amendment process has changed, and so we have to update that language within our 2024 to 2027 TIP. Specifically, the guidelines in terms of processing an administrative modification or a TIP amendment have changed. So the CORMPO, under this new process for STIP, TIP, and MTP administrative modifications, they can be processed on a project phase with a cost increase of up to $4 million or 40%, and federal share with a cap at $40 million of the amounts authorized. So more details on that is provided in the appendix of this TIP amendment report. So you feel free to scroll down to that and read that in more detail to understand the changes to the STIP and TIP amendment process. Additionally, there were changes to the I-16 exit ramp removal project. So the major change with this is just reformatting it into another table. This is a discretionary grant, and FHWA wanted to provide distinction between the discretionary grants and other types of funds. So it's being reformatted into another table. That is also true for the Volterra Electrification of American Ports project. This is a discretionary grant, and it will also be reformatted into a new table. Port of Savannah Renewable Fuel project is also a discretionary grant project that will be reformatted. And then the City of Savannah 37th Street Safety Improvements and Supplemental Planning Project. This is also a discretionary grant, and two things are happening with this. It's being added to our TIP, and then it will also be formatted into that new discretionary grant table. Chatham Area Transit also requested a TIP amendment. So Chatham Area Transit received an almost $700,000 grant for the fiscal year 2024 electric and low-emitting ferry program. The total project cost is $860,000, and CAT will provide an $172,000 match. And so this is showing in the current TIP and then updated what those funds and the breakdown would be. So for Chatham area or for Chatham County, they requested a TIP amendment for the Green Island Road multipurpose path. So this project requires additional PE funds in fiscal year 2025, and it will receive carryover funds in the PE phase from unobligated TA funds that are at risk of lapsing. The total carryover funds that will be dedicated to this project is $1 million in TA funds. The federal portion of that is $856,000, and the local match is $214,000. Additionally, a right-of-way phase will be added in fiscal year 2026 with $120,000 of local funds, and that is how the cost breakdowns will look in the TIP. Chatham County also requested a TIP amendment for the Chevis Road Improvement Project. So this project needs additional funds in fiscal year 2025 and will be receiving carryover funds from unobligated TA and CRP funds that are at risk of lapsing. So $50,000 in CRP funds will be dedicated to this project in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $40,000, local match is $10,000. Additionally, $1.7 million in TA funds will be dedicated to this project in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $1.4 million, and the local match is $357,000. Chatham Area Transit also, Chatham County also requested a TIP amendment for the Girard Avenue Improvement Project. So this project will be receiving carryover funds in the PE phase from unobligated CRP funds that are at risk of lapsing. The project will receive $1.2 million in CRP funds. The federal portion of that is $972,000, and the local match is $243,000. And we also have a TIP amendment from Chatham County for I-16 at SR-17. So this project will be receiving additional funds in the PE phase from unobligated STGB funds. The PE phase will receive $1.4 million in STGB funds. The federal portion of that is $1.1 million, and the local match is $292,000. Additionally, in the current TIP, Chatham County provides $2.7 million in additional local funds for the road phase of this project in fiscal year 2025. So based on revised cost estimates, the additional funds needed are $3 million. The carryover STGB funds can be used to replace the local funding. The project will receive $3 million in STGB funds in fiscal year 2025. And so the federal portion of that is $2.4 million, and the local match is $600,000. Additionally, the I-95 at Savannah River at South Carolina Line received a TIP amendment request from GDOT. So GDOT requested an amendment to increase the cost estimate for the construction phase in fiscal year 2025 and replace the funding code. The total funds that are being requested to be amended into the TIP are $97 million. The federal portion of that is $38.8 million in Y001 funds. The state match is $9.7 million. And additionally, the South Carolina Department of Transportation will be providing $48.5 million in funds to this project. And then here's the breakdown of that. And this is the added project that was added on December 11th. So GDOT is requesting to add $30,000 in Y134 funds to the PE phase of fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $24,000 and the state portion is $6,000. So the rest of this is just the appendix showing what this will look like in the updated TIP. So this is that old STIP TIP amendment process. And then this is a new one, and highlighted is the major changes with that. Additionally, these are the tables that will be reformatted. So these tables will be removed from the TIP for the discretionary grant projects, and this is what the new table will look like in that TIP. And this is the new table that will be added for the Chatham Area Transit Ferry Project Program. And then for the Chatham County projects, this is what those updated project pages will look like. And so that was about the end of the report. The rest of the appendix is our consistency with the MTP and TIP, our public notices, and communication on this TIP amendment. But now CORMPO is asking first to have that public hearing, and then after that public hearing, we can have a vote on whether to adopt this TIP amendment or not.
All right. Any questions? No questions? All right. Let us get ready now to open the public hearing. May I have a vote to, a motion to open the public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I move to open the hearing. Palumbo.
Second, Milton.
Probably motion and second that we open the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far left.
Proctor, yes. Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Townend, yes. Cody, yes.
Beckman, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes. Public hearing is now open, all right, for the 2024-2027 TIP amendment, all right. Do we have anyone who signify raise hand?
Yeah, we do have Dr. Shabazz again.
All right, let Dr. Shabazz go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In reference to the item for the I-16 at Montgomery Street at MLK Junior Boulevard, the ramp overpass, My question is, for myself and the public's understanding, is the definition of reformat the project page into a discretionary grant table. Tell me, can you just summarize what does that mean?
Yes. So can you see the screen? Because I can demonstrate it on the screen.
Let's see here. Yes, I can.
Okay. So a typical TIP project page looks like this, where it has a title and its own individual page for each project. But since the projects in this table are receiving a different kind of fund, which is discretionary funds, FHWA wanted to provide distinction between those discretionary fund projects and the non-discretionary fund projects. And so we put them in, its own individual table to reflect that distinction.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you for that explanation. My other, concern is the Chevis Road project. And I don't know if this is the right time to ask this question, but in reference to the description of the improvements of this project, what are they? Or if the county is going to come, or city's going to come and give that later on, I'll wait. But if not, can you give me that summary description of the project?
I think in our notices, it'll be in status reports, the updates and details on that project. And they're also in this TIP amendment report as well.
Okay, I'll wait then. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Anyone else want to comment? Any other comments on the public side? Hand raised?
No, sir.
All right, none. Any from the board? Anyone from the board? Nothing? All right, then let me have a motion to close the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I move to close the hearing. Palumbo.
Second, Beckman.
Proper motion and second that we close the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your votes back up from my far right.
Aye. Beckman.
Yes. Cody. Callanan, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes. Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Proctor, yes.
What?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the Appendix E resolution to adopt TIP amendments. Palumbo.
Kegler, second.
Proper motion and second that we adopt. All right, are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting from my far left.
Proctor, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes. Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Allen, yes, I'm sorry. Cody, yes.
Beckman, yes.
The chairman, yes. All right. So approved.
Thank you.
You want to unanimous for Dakota?
Okay, I will give the presentation on the unified planning work program. And this is the preliminary draft. We normally have like two rounds of review and a comment. And December is the first round, and the second round is February. And then by that time, everything will be finalized. And it will be ready for your adoption. The Unified Planning Work Program is the core MPO's staff work program. It's basically tell us how much money we're going to get and what are we going to use that money for. So this is preliminary draft that we have developed. And as you can see, since we did the reapportionment last year, so we have like new committees, like BPAC, TPAC, so it's all of that. And we have a new boundary, and that is all reflected over here. But I would just focus on the budget side of things for your information over here. So we did receive the funding information from GDOT actually at the end of November. So for next fiscal year 2026, the planning funds that we're going to have is about $482,000. And then the MPO dues will pay for the local match. And the total for the PL funds is about $602,000. And from federal transit side, we will get about $202,000. And GDOT will come up 10%. And the local match and then MPO dues will pay for another 10%. So the total for transit is $252,000. And then we also get a little bit like set aside from the PL, the highway planning funds, that is for the increase in safe and accessible transportation options. Basically, that's for non-motorized transportation, bike path planning. For that portion, you don't need to provide local match, and the federal portion is $12,000. So for the next fiscal year 2026, starting July 1st next year, ending June 30th, 2026, we will have about $696,000 federal dollar available and $25,000 from state available, $145,000 from our local match, and the total is about $867. And that will pay for the NPO staff work over here. So what we are going to do, I would just go over some of the, like task one, basically that's like for all of those meetings, unified planning work program development, and coordination with Federal Highway, Federal Transit and FTA, and also staff training, equipment supplies, contracting. So that's covered under administration. And the public involvement part of it, that's the maintenance of the Core MPO website. And we're going to revamp our website because currently we find it's pretty hard. I mean, unless you are very familiar with the website, it's sometimes hard to find information. So we want to simplify it. And so we want to do that. And also, the orientation, I see we have some like new faces today. Actually, I don't know some of like Catherine. I don't know the new faces. So we want to do like orientation. And we actually had the individual orientation with Tybee, with Richmond Hill, this fiscal year. But next year, if we have like new members, we want to continue the orientation and also public education. We go to, like GS Day, community events, and then we talk to people about what Core MPO does, and what MPC does. So that's involved in the public involvement. And then people also send us requests like traffic counts or something. So that's covered under public involvement. And then the third task, data collection and analysis. So we will keep track of the census data development. So we collect that information. And then when we also work with the developmental services, so we review traffic impact analysis, and also MPC is going to kick off the comprehensive plan. So we will provide some information that we have and coordinate with them about land use connection with transportation, and that will be covered under data collection and analysis. And then for the system planning, that's task four. I would just mention this. So task for system planning and operations. For the long-range transportation plan, since we adopted the 2050 MTP, so the next fiscal year, we will just maintain it and then probably update it with amendments if there are changes like what we did today. So not that much work probably related to 2050 MTP, but transportation improvement program will be big because we currently have the fiscal year 2024 to 2027 TIP. And next fiscal year, we are going to develop a new fiscal year 2027 and a 2030 TIP. So that means we have to conduct a call for projects and then we have to do funding allocation and then writing the document. We are doing research on secure a vendor to do the interactive TIP, online TIP. So hopefully next fiscal year, we will have that settled so that we don't have to like call for project manually. So that we can use the platform, and so the TCC members, they can review that information and then give scores online. So hopefully that's what we are hoping for that one. In terms of congestion management process, we want to do the report card because we adopted the congestion management process document actually as a part of 2050 MTP. So next fiscal year, we actually want to do the report card. So these are the recommended strategies. So which project has been implemented? We want to evaluate the effectiveness. And then freight planning, we want to pursue the truck parking study because that's the recommendation from our freight plan. So we will explore that option probably in that fiscal year. And then also livability and transportation alternatives. And Asia will give you a presentation today on the non-motorized transportation plan. We want to adopt that plan this year, but next year because we have several studies going on, one of those bicycle pedestrian facility study that will be covered under livability and transportation alternatives, and also thoroughfare plan update. And then if we have any recommendations, and then we can amend the non-motorized transportation plan. So those will be under covered under system planning and operations. And when also I added in the management of special studies, because there will be three studies that will kick off this fiscal year, basically before June 30th, 2025. So that will be US-80 corridor study phase two. We're going to release the RFP this week. And then urban fighting model study phase two, we're going to release the RFP in January. And then bicycle and pedestrian facility study, we're going to release the RFP in January as well. So I need to actually do a little bit updates over here because I just had a workshop with the STERA 204 access study. Seems like they probably will be dragged on a little bit because currently the completion schedule was May, but basically they're going to extend it to August because they want to do a PIOH, Public Information Open Houses. I would just move that to fiscal year 2026 as well for that one. But several studies will be done, but several studies will continue. So that's why we management of these studies will be documented under system planning. And during the certification review, FHW wanted us to list the subtasks budget. So because we know the TIP will be a major one, so we actually boost the budget for this task at $250,000, but a lot of that will be for TIP development, including the ETIP, and also for management of special studies, as you can see over here. And the next task is the transit planning. So we coordinated with CAD. We attend CAD board meetings and public information meetings, and CAD coordinated with us and then come to our meetings as well. And we also coordinated with CAD on the federal certification review. So we document not only what CORMPO does, but also what CAD does over here as well. So basically transit and based, paratransit planning. So long range plan, TIP, all of that, bicycle, pedestrian, all covered under this task. And then the task six, is the bicycle pedestrian planning that we talked about. And this is the set aside funds I mentioned, about $12,000. And then the last one, the special studies, we probably will apply for additional discretionary funds or some other funding, under this, but before we apply for the funds, we want to make sure that we include those studies in the unfunded section. And after we get the funds and then we move them to the funded section, then we can start our RFP process. So, currently I documented, several unfunded studies that we might pursue funding for. One is the regional truck parking study. I mentioned this one. And the resilience improvement plan, so far I listed and unfunded studies, but Anna will talk to you about it because she's writing the grant for the PROTECT discretionary funds. So we might get that. If we get that, and we'll start RFP process. And then we did the COFO plans and studies, and Chatham County submitted the three. One of those is Islands Expressway between Truman Parkway and US 80, Ferguson Avenue from Diamond Causeway to Skidway Road, and La Roche Avenue from Jasmine Avenue to Bluff Drive. And then we also included some like transit studies over here, just in case. So if we include all of these unfunded in our UPW, well, whatever grant that we want to apply, and then that will boost our chance. So CAD has transit-oriented development study, transit stop amenity study, mobility hub study, and a bus rapid transit feasibility study. I actually sent out another email because I know the city of Savannah wants to do a micro-simulation study, but I haven't received that information yet, and Faye promised that she will send me the information. So before the end of the day, I'm going to include that information when I receive that. So the earliest time that we can apply for the discretionary funds is probably September of next year, but we want to include the study right now before we do that, so we don't have to do amendments. So these are all the information that we included in the UPWP. So after you're okay with this, we get your comments incorporated, and we will send this preliminary draft to Federal Highway, Federal Transit, and GDOT for their review. They have a 30-day review. And then in February, we will come back and tell you what comments we have received from them, how we address those, and we will ask for your final adoption for the UPWP. Any questions?
Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So the studies, I thought I remember seeing an email that there was a deadline. Did it just pass for this, for the ones that are due, that we apply for in September, or is that, or?
Do you want to add the study? If you have a new study you want to add in, yes, please send that information to me today.
When is the deadline for that?
Deadline, actually, we issued the COVID plans and studies in August. Uh-huh. So deadline was September, but we don't want to impede your chances. So if you have information right now, and we can include it. Okay. What study are you?
No, I'm just curious because there was a few that we were discussing at the county, and so you said the earliest we can apply is September, correct?
Yeah, because this is fiscal year 2026.
Right.
So fiscal year 2026 kicks off July 1st, 2025.
Okay.
So the earliest time that we can apply for that funds when we include this is September 2025.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much to the team for your presentation here. I wanted to make sure and echo maybe some of the sentiments from the rest of the board of more participation from the board members to address some of the bigger challenges, because this is an important governing body and a high growth region, maybe the most in the state. Just for our own edification, my favorite report and artifact presented in the last year was GDOT's Do Nothing report, which is what, you know, it keeps me up at night. Could you just expand upon how the list that's presented helps to address those, and it is aligned with those priorities?
The GDOT Do Nothing, that's based on the travel demand model. That's related to the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So as part of that process, and we produce the socioeconomic data, and so based on the population projection, housing unit projection, employment projection, and then GDOT uses input and then derive like travel forecasts for 2050. So we actually also provide input on the projects that is ongoing and construction or going to be implemented for the next 5 years. And then they input that, and then they produce the results to see if we do nothing, the congestion will be like worse over here. But if we do something about it, like for I-16, widening project, if we do nothing about it, the congestion will be probably level of service F or something. But if we already have like a widening project going on something, it will be probably level of service D or something. So that's their scenario. So the travel demand model comes up with do nothing model, and then if you do existing project model, and then do existing project plus committed project model. And then if you have additional funds, and then do something more. So they give us different model runs, so that we can use that as a reference to develop our 2050 long-range transportation plan project list.
Oh, and thank you so much. And I think we have a great list of studies and programs up ahead. And just would like my friendly chime in to say that I would love to see us tackle those as the best we can ahead of time. Which I think will really help us out. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, anyone else? Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
All right.
The next staff report, I do want to ask Sadie to give a presentation. Sadie, our newest staff addition, she will work part-time for Core MPO and part-time for development services. So her passion is for transit planning. So she's already coordinating with Mary over there.
Excuse me, if I may, we need to get a motion or a vote on item number 6.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve item number 6, FY 2026 UPWP.
Count it second.
All right, probably motion and second that we adopt the approval of it. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my far right.
Yes. Beckman.
Cody, yes. Calhoun, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Okay. Chairman, yes.
Yeah, thank you. And then I will ask the city to give the report. So she spends about 20% of her time with Core MPO.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Sadie.
So this is just going over the performance-based planning programming targets for the highway safety updates for PM1. So here are the ones that we're updating. So for the number of fatalities, it's going under the projected 1,600 by 2025. The number of serious injuries is going under the projected 7,109 by 2025. The serious injury rate is going under 5.711 by 2025. And the total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries is going under the projected 797 by 2025. Thank you.
Okay.
I do want to mention that the highway performance targets are adopted annually because GDOT updates that every year. And the transit performance targets also adopted annually since CAT didn't update their targets, so we didn't have to change. But the PM2 and PM3, which is congestion, air quality, bridge and pavement, those are every 2 years, every 4 years. So that's why you see these highway performance targets more often. But I also want to mention that during one of our committee meetings, they want to know how you track those targets. So actually HDOT developed this table over here, as you can see, for the highway performance targets, because it's 5 year rolling average. So you can see they were like number of fatalities. Actually, I think after 2022, seems like they're trending down on those because that's reflective of the statewide targets. And so you can see the trend over here. So 5 year rolling average.
This is a question. I'm assuming that these are statewide numbers and not core MPO numbers.
These are statewide numbers. Yeah, not core MPO numbers. But we do want to explore the number of non-motorized fatalities and motorized serious injuries to develop our own targets.
Yes.
But we want to finish the bicycle and pedestrian facility study. And then we want to explore our own targets because we definitely have more pedestrians than the rural agencies. So we will explore that, but we also, as part of that process, if we have our own targets and we need to have the mechanism to collect data to measure that, because currently we don't have the capability.
I would support the local targets as well, and just hope that we could tie that into City of Savannah adopted a Vision Zero goal, and I'm sure it's a goal that's shared by all of the jurisdictions within the MPO, and I think would be helpful for MPO to help guide in the metric there, so long as that we're searching towards zero there in fatalities for MPO.
Yeah, we want to adopt our own targets. That is always our goal, but it's just we don't have the capability to collect data yet.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
So we will ask for the board to adopt the highway safety targets as presented. So these would be the 2025 targets. So this time we're still adopting the statewide targets.
All right. So may we have a motion to adopt the target?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the targets. Palumbo.
Kegler, second.
In a second, I'm ready for a question. Please signify by a vote, starting to my far left.
Proctor, yes. Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Cody, yes.
Beckman, yes.
All right, Chairman.
Thank you. And then I will give the presentation for the next agenda item, which is the RFP for the US-80 corridor study. Remember, it was a long way. We actually included all of these studies into the unfunded section of the Unified Planning Work Program. And then we asked for your okay before we submit grant applications. And then after we got the grants, and then we moved those to the funded section of the UPWP. And then we got the letter from GDOT, and now finally we can do RFP. So one of those, the first one to go is the US 80 corridor study, phase two. We finished the phase one, that covers the Chatham County. But now Effingham County, will pursue the second phase. Since North Bryan County opted out, so we cannot extend, because we cannot spend our MPO money in outside of our planning boundary, but Effingham County is in our boundary, so we're going to pursue this. So we are developing a website, so we're going to post all of the RFPs over there, and then when we receive questions, then we can answer them through addendum. So that website will be ready probably this Friday. So the first one to go is the US 80 scoping study in Effingham County. So I'll just focus on scope. We actually had a committee that reviewed the draft scope. So the committee will probably also review the proposals when we receive them. So the committee members would be myself, Jonathan Hume from Effingham County, Jeremiah from Effingham County, Kayla Brown from BPAC, and the BPAC chairwoman, and also Leon Davenport, because Leon was the project manager for phase one. So we just want to be consistent. So what we decided to do, it was modeled on phase one. So we would do like a corridor study. You would do, you evaluate existing conditions and then do, evaluation and then find alternatives. What we decided is like, phase one was 12 miles in Chatham County. There are more intersections. There's some more analysis to be done. The cost was $285,000. For phase two, the segment is about 6.5 miles and then very, not that many intersections or interchanges. So we decided we would just boost it up a little bit because the cost is about $270,000. So the committee's the view is like probably review the previous work that has been done. So that includes the phase one study, our freight planning study, the GDOT Coastal Empire study, and FM Council is doing their SS4A, and then also the master transportation plan, and then we adopted 2050 plan. So make sure that all of those studies are consistent with what we already have over here and use that as reference. And then besides the infrastructure improvements, actually we want them to do a little bit analysis on land use. Effingham County has already done some land use changes, but we want them to do like two scenarios because of the Hyundai plant. So do like two model runs. I know Mr. Plumber was talking about the different travel demand models. So we want them to do two different model runs based on two different scenarios of land use changes. So that's what we want them to do to add in. And then we also want them to do so I talked about the land use analysis. So we want them to like confirm Effingham County's land use changes and then also if the changes make sense, that's okay. If not make sense, give us recommendations. So we want them to focus on this land use. And then we also, this is another thing, the equity analysis, because even if it's like rural portion of it, so bicycle pedestrian facilities will be lacking. So, but a lot of people still want to use those if you have those facilities. So want them to do some equity kind of analysis to find out where the populations are located and then probably explore the option of including the connections, the bike path connection, especially to the high-low trail, the equity analysis. And for the recommendations, we actually have two sets of recommendations for infrastructure, improvement recommendations, short-range, mid-term, and long-term, and that's for certain. But we also want them to give us like land use recommendations. So the infrastructure recommendations will be reflected to help us probably like we can amend that into the vision plan, into the 25th MTP to paving way for future federal funding. But for the land use, they can probably report that to the Effingham County, and Effingham County probably just, that will help you do the like zoning code changes, zoning changes, land use changes. So we want them to explore that. And then I actually asked the 2.8 cost estimate because the phase one of the study, the consultant actually, Kim Lee Horn, they gave us probably like 20 recommendations, but no cost estimates for those recommendations, which really, so when we include those into the long range plans, we don't know their cost. So for this phase, definitely for the infrastructure recommendations, we want them to have cost estimates. But if we still have a budget available, we want the consultant to go back and check the phase one. You have like 20 recommendations. Give us cost estimates for those. Because this is, that's if budget allows. We do want them to do that. So the total cost for this segment, 6.5 miles, $270,000. So we think we might have the budget to do, to just go back and then do cost estimating for phase one.
Ms. Wacko, remind me, in phase one, they took in all of the growth associated with Hyundai in phase one.
Mm-mm.
So nope. It needs to be revamped, doesn't it?
That one.
Because I'm looking at what, Effingham and
but,
Bryan.
Yeah, but phase two, we want to focus on Effingham because Effingham County is being the local match. Mm-hmm. So we want to focus on Effingham County. So we will evaluate the Hyundai's, and the GPA's, the Port of Savannah's impacts, on Effingham County because this is the focus for Effingham County.
Yeah, but, the effect of Hyundai is going to affect all up and down 80 from the ports all the way through Effingham.
Yeah, I have to go back and review the report for phase one to see whether Hyundai was included, or Hyundai impact was included. But my understanding is probably not much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
The quick question. So one of the struggles that we have with this is that it doesn't get us all the way to Hyundai. And this was developed, I think, up to the Ogeechee River.
Yes.
The first phase of this was my understanding correct that was partially funded by GDOT? Or
that's CRESA funds. So it's actually 100% federal.
Oh, so it was 100% federal.
100% federal. Okay. Yeah. Because Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B, that one couldn't use that funds at the time. So we have to reallocate the funds. So this project got that funds. Yeah.
Okay. CRESA so, funds. The reason I was asking is, you know, I would like to still pursue, working with GDOT and Bryan County on maybe as a phase three, extending this at least to 280.
Oh.
But I know that has to be done outside of this project, but I just want to kind of put that on the record that I think that would be a necessary component really to get the relief that's needed for that.
Yeah.
Because the expensive portion of this, when the Coastal Empire study had four laning really at the Effingham County border, because that's where it becomes two lanes on 80 all the way to Bullock, but the that would actually require another parallel bridge across the Ogeechee, and if that's going to be contemplated by the state, then I think we really need to kind of get that ball rolling by at least having a corridor study. We encourage maybe GDOT to do to take our boundary where it stops here and then continue it either all the way to Hyundai or at least to 280.
Yeah, it will be GDOT or Bryan County and Bullock County joint study. That is outside our boundary,
right.
And we cannot spend the Corumpio money in those segments, so they have to take over.
Yes, I understand that, but I understand they're on the phone and we've got Bryan County here, so just wanted to let them know that, you know, we're open to coordinate as best we can, although we know it's not in our boundary and we'll have to
be when Bryan County and GDOT do start that, and we can present them what we already have, phase one and phase two, so they can use that as a reference. It's not good situation. So if the Bryan County didn't opt out, and we can probably just study US 80 all the way through. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
But if we can't do it, can't GDOT do it?
Yeah, GDOT can do it.
GDOT can do it,
yeah.
Because it's still in the state.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they can do it.
And I think that's one of the things as to Mr. Kegler's question is that along that whole Highway 80, all right, from stem to stern, we did not include the impact of Hyundai because we didn't know about Hyundai.
Yeah.
Now we know, and we know that there are effects coming from the development of Hyundai and for future development,
All right. So is it still possible that we could go back to GDOT and ask them to let's reevaluate? I mean, even though we're saying we're through with phase one, we may have to go back and do some things in phase one because now there is residual effect from Hyundai coming in the area.
I would say that is something that we definitely need to talk to GDOT about. They've got their representative here.
Yeah.
But it's not just Hyundai. There are other projects that are proposed.
Right.
My other thing too is that we will also spend a little bit more time with CETA to at least let us know in general. They don't have to tell us who the people are of the potential industry that's coming in, because that definitely impacts our studies. And when the first phase of this was done, we didn't know about Hyundai. That
was
CETA, part of the discussion.
CETA can't tell you until GDOT, until the state tells them.
Well, I understand, yeah. But I'm just saying that the point is that it takes years for these
right.
projects to get started. So even at a high level, if they think that there is something that could be happening along those corridors, we can at least at a high level know to incorporate them in as part of our RFP to make sure that we're at least getting some guidance about potential costs and potential impact.
Yeah, that will be like a future study. Seems
well,
like a future study
listen,
already. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons we behind the eight ball now. It's because 12 years ago or 15 years ago, we didn't plan for today. And now we have Hyundai and other things and other developments that are affecting us. That's causing us to do housing and everything else. And so we need to go now, look at where we are. You can't go back. Okay. So I'm just saying, rather than lock out and saying we've already done phase one, but now we've got some effects from stuff that we did not plan for.
Yeah,
I mean, that's going to talk to not only GDOT, but we need to talk to the State Development Authority and the rest of them who are making these decisions.
We basically, in order to address all of these things, because of course, as we indicated, all of it's not within Chatham County.
Right.
In Effingham County, it becomes a different beast because of the amount of
PPO is not all in Chatham County either.
That's the
that's
point.
Why I'm bringing it up.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
And that's just my point is that, you know, and once the boundaries got changed, it still went into further into Bryan County. We still are talking to them about some of the projects that they've got going on, as well as some of the other jurisdictions that are located within Bryan County that are not part of the MPO. We're
right.
having those conversations so that we can deal with making amendments. And those are things too that we will also factor into the comp plan update, but I'm also asking the other jurisdictions to fold that in too, because it's more than transportation. It involves infrastructure, other infrastructure, housing, as you indicated, and other services. And those are usually covered, when the, you know, with the service delivery strategy and the comp plan. So we are having those conversations with, our partners, whether they are part of the MPO or what just part of the planning process. We still have conversations with them so that we are starting to try to project out based on future development impacts.
Yeah. And I think we need to come outside the box. And when I say come outside the box, GDOT has done a Coastal Empire study. All right. And some parts of that Coastal Empire study they aren't a part of MPO. All right. But what's going to happen is the effects of what's going to happen with the Coastal Empire study and the development there. And I'll give you a prime example of what I talk about and think about all the time. And I've had conversations with them. Somebody's going to have to help us wake up Bloomingdale. Honestly, because when they wake up one day, it's going to be done rolled over if they don't be a part of the planning now. And so I can't talk about what we did not do. I can know what we did not do 10 years ago or 15 years ago, but where we are now and where we're going. All right. And so we've gotten some insight as to where we're going. We don't know the who, but we do know that there are talks now on the state level about other developments coming in this area that's going to impact everybody that's in that Coastal Empire study. All right. And before you get rolled over, I think you need to be at the table and talk. And when we talk about core MPO and Bryan County, don't think I'm throwing no bricks at y'all now, but I'm just talking about what's the truth. That part that they left out, they might have to go back and ask to reconsider and get that back in, because short version, stuff coming.
We're not disagreeing with you with regards to the fact that we know things are happening.
Right.
But Bryan County opted to not participate.
I understand.
And they very well.
Right.
And they very well may want to try to come back.
Yeah.
And if they do, that's a whole, another process that we would have to undertake, to incorporate them in. But it does not mean that we cannot partner with them in GDOT to have projects moving, forward. And that's the strategy that we have decided to take when they pulled out of the MPO. We will work with them. We will work with GDOT. We have a great working relationship with them to make sure that the projects that they are working with them on, that they're coordinated with what we are doing so that we can have smooth transition moving forward. But we are, trust me, we are looking at those things. We're, you know, as we are dealing with working on our planning, especially with the 2050 plan, as well as the upcoming work that we will be doing on the comprehensive plan for the county.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will be one of those stakeholders, but we cannot take the lead. So that's what it is.
I understand that totally, all right? And understand the decisions that make, but what I don't want us to do is I don't want us to be so narrow-minded and so ill-focused until they now, because of decisions they made, have to go through the GDOT process. All right, which may not bring them into the MPO process, but I don't want the MPO to shut their minds and shut their thoughts on what's developing them, because what's developing with them affects us. And when I say us, I'm talking about everybody else that's in the core MPO. See, so we've got to be open and minded enough until if they need our assistance, if they need our data or whatever we can provide to GDOT. All right. But GDOT has to take the lead. We can't lead this.
Yeah.
You know? So we have to recognize we can't lead, but we definitely can be a part of the followership that gets the whole thing done, because it's going to affect everybody.
And as I've indicated, we basically, I mean, GDOT's here, we are stakeholders. So we do provide them with information and we do partner with them when they are working on projects. It's just that because they're not part of the MPO, we can't take the lead. But we will continue to do that. We will continue to provide information as asked, and they share information with us when we make those requests so that we can try to have the best data possible. So thank you.
I'd want to mention our fleet plan, congestion management process, and everything's a three county.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't stop at the border. So we actually identify projects in like Bryan County and those not participating. But at least if they want to reference our project list, it's there. So we do have the information if they want.
Okay.
So we will ask the board to, I mean, if you have any additional comments on the scope of services, I can incorporate them. I am ready to release this RFP this Friday. So this is the schedule. I do give the consultant about, because of the holiday season, give them extra week to respond. So this is the schedule that I have for this project. Hopefully we will start the project, probably kick off in April. So we will ask for your okay for release of the RFP.
All right. So they need approval to go forward. May I get a motion for approval? All right, it's been moved by Mr. Johnson. Second by. All right, are you ready for a question? Please cast your vote, starting at my left.
Proctor, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Milton, yes.
Flumbo, yes.
Begler, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Cody, yes.
Beckman, yes.
Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
All right. Ready to move on?
Oh, sorry. It's okay. Hi, good morning. Anna McQuarrie, planner at the MPC and Core MPO. I'm going to be presenting the Urban Flood Model Phase 2 RFP. Again, this was one of our studies. We applied for discretionary funding through GAMPO. And first of all, I'd like to thank this board for helping put together a review team of the RFP who not only helped contributed to the material, but will also serve to review all the applications. And this team is geographically and technically diverse. We have representatives from Effingham County all the way to Tybee Island, and Chatham County and City of Savannah. We have stormwater folks along with planning, resilience, and Chatham Area Transit as well. So I'm really excited to bring resilience into all of these different domains and improve our urban flood model from phase one. So as a quick reminder, I'm just going to go over into what phase one included, and that was a stormwater management model, or SWIM. It's a free model from the EPA. And so that also created hydrographs. They created a vulnerability assessment application. This is an online dashboard, so online interactive mapping tool to identify vulnerable roads. And they compiled a list of funding opportunities and compiled this information into a final report. So the purpose of phase two is to include materials from phase one for additional flood modeling and decision and planning tools, which will help target and prioritize projects and strategies aimed at mitigating the impacts of rainfall events and sea level rise on transportation infrastructure. And then these materials should optimize the planning of new and existing transportation infrastructure to improve reliability and resiliency with additional consideration to economic constraints and social inequities. I'll quickly go over the tasks so you can better understand the scope of phase two. So first, we'll put together a project management and coordination plan. And a big part of this is going to be our outreach efforts and project coordination. We have a lot going on. And I think one part that can be improved upon from phase one is including our stormwater managers and also community groups, thinking about, you know, what are the social impacts, not just identifying them, but reaching out to those groups and creating a product that emergency managers, public, and planners can all use together. Our second task will be to do an inventory of available stormwater data and models. So originally we were talking about expanding the SWIM, or stormwater management model. However, talking to our review team, the SWIM is maybe not the best tool. It's not the tool that every jurisdiction uses. There are other stormwater management models such as StormWise. So you may be familiar with that. And so our review team decided it would be better to do an inventory of what's available. And so we can have more consistent language that we use and identify where improvements are needed. And we'd also like to develop flood resilience metrics. Task three is to improve our online vulnerability assessment application. If we create something, we want it to be user-friendly, and that is a big portion of task three. Again, we're utilizing data from phase one, expanding out into our new boundary area. We're incorporating projected build-out scenarios, and then we'd also like this data to be open access to increase transparency and collaboration within the NPO. Task four, we would like to create an infrastructure strategies guidebook. And so this is identifying different infrastructure strategies, green and gray, with a focus on nature-based solutions. And these strategies will include a description, cost estimate, benefits, and challenges. And we'd also like to see examples of these strategies used on our projects listed in the TIP. Big part of this that we'd also like to do is a training program. So not only do we inventory the data, we make sure it's usable, but we train people how to use it. Very important that we have materials and a training curriculum. So this data is accessible and our folks in the MPO can actually use it. That is very important. And a final task, which will be recommendations to sum all of this up. How do we move forward? And I'll talk about this a little bit later, but thinking about how we can use this in future projects, such as a resilience improvement plan. Our estimated schedule, we're just about a week behind the US 80 phase two. So we'd like to release this on January 2nd. The project start and end date are the same. The difference in the week comes in just taking a little bit of time off of the proposal review. So instead of having a full month for proposal review, it'll go down to 3 weeks. That's just a discrepancy in dates there. Final eligibility will be academic institutions. Non-academic entities are eligible as sub-consultants. Thank you.
All right. Let me, any questions from anyone? Let me ask this question. Now, you want to put out an RFP on the 2nd of January, right?
Yes.
But that says 2024. You're talking about 2025, right?
2025, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Those dates need to be fixed. Okay, thank you so much for pointing that out.
Let's turn that into a 5.
Thank you.
All right, let's turn all those dates into a 5 that says –
Yep, those first two. Thank you so much for pointing that out.
Let me ask this question. How are we putting that out so that the folks who, especially local folks who work in this area, who do with water management and all that kind of stuff, how do they know we're putting out an RFP other than saying, just put it on the website?
Great. So there's actually a site in the state of Georgia where you can release RFPs where all these will be listed. And then there are certain requirements that you can tag the study as. So then the RFP goes out to the correct entities and people are informed as they should be. We're also doing a presentation at the Coastal Georgia Indicators Coalition Quality of Life meeting as well to help spread the word that these RFPs are out, and that meeting is January 8th.
But that's after we put out the RFP though, right?
So that meeting is after the RFP, but when we release it, we will also put it on that Georgia Registry website of studies that go out, and that's what for all three studies. That's how they're released. So we have a website link on the core MPO website. It's released on the Georgia Registry for Proposals. And then we also have a local meeting as well with the Coastal Georgia Indicators Coalition.
So it won't go on the website until January the 2nd?
Correct. So right now what we're asking for is your approval to release it.
All right, the approval to put it on the website.
And to
seek the RFP.
Yeah, so we would like to release this so then we can have our consultants apply for it. Maybe Wycota can elaborate on the process.
I can add something. In Georgia, there's a Georgia Procurement Registry. Mm-hmm. So all of those pre-qualified, because we can only use GDOT pre-qualified consultants. So, for example, like RSNH or Kimley Horn or Pond or whatever company, they have to go through the pre-certification process with GDOT. And then they actually have the people to receive the notification when we release the RFP. So for example, I want to release the US 80 corridor study. So I want the consultant to be qualified for 1.02 urban planning study, for 2 point something for corridor study or something. So those consultant firms who are pre-registered with GDOT, who are pre-qualified for those, they will automatically receive. So if you meet one of those criteria, you will receive a notification.
Yeah, I understand. What I did not know is that they had to be pre-qualified by GDOT.
Yes, they have to be. We cannot use the consultants that are not pre-qualified by GDOT. So the prime contractor has to be pre-qualified. If they can use some sub-consultants, that's a different story. But, yeah. But most of the time, the sub-consultants are also pre-qualified for certain criteria because the GDOT, the Georgia Procurement Registry actually has very, 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 very long list under each criteria.
The only thing I did not know is that they had to be pre-qualified by GDOT.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I did not know. All right. So now that I know that.
Yeah. We will also advertise on the Savannah Morning News.
Who reads Savannah Morning? Golly. Okay,
yeah.
I'm getting in trouble. Let me hush.
Yeah, the procurement.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, we used to build a database for the pre-qualification, but now GDOT has that information already.
Yeah.
Through the procurement registry.
Yeah, I'm just all the time now, and when I say this, I'm not just talking about Chatham County, but I'm talking about all those who will find ourselves in that Coastal Empire study, all right? I consider all of them local. All right. And so you got companies that don't know they have to be pre-qualified by GDOT in order to get this information. So if they just go looking for it on the MPO's website or on the MPC website, they're not going to see it because they aren't pre-qualified by GDOT. They don't get the notification that the RFP is going out, right? And that's my concern, because I'm talking about local companies that are here, but they're not not pre-qualified. They're not pre-qualified.
I'm curious, for Chatham County and City of Savannah, how do you release your RFPs? I mean, who do you release them to?
Well, we do the same type thing and understand, I'm trying to change that, all right, because enough people do not get notification that an RFP is going out, and they don't know what the steps are to get qualified, to get information. And so what I think ought to happen is I think there ought to be some kind of workshop or something where we teach people how to get pre-qualified going forward. All right. So that more of the local company, I get all the time local vendors here now who says, I did not apply because I did not know. I didn't get the information. I didn't know you can do that. And say to them, go to Savannah website, go to Chatham County's website, go to MPC website, go to MPO website, you know, and they're not connected that kind of way. And so we have to, how do we reach out? And I'm talking to all entities now. I'm talking to all the entities, like I said, that's in that Coastal Empire study, because this stuff is going to affect all of us. What steps do we need to take to better get folks involved, better get folks? And especially, if I go back to 2020, there are companies now in Chatham County that weren't here in 2020. They're up and coming by local folks that have developed companies, but they don't know the process. See, and trying to get them the information is I think, is paramount. Let me recognize Mayor Johnson.
Thank you. Just for the City of Savannah, we have an extensive process by which this occurs. We have an entrepreneurial office that we remain and regularly, probably near quarterly, have opportunities for people to get connected. If you are registered with us as a vendor and you select the subcategories, then you automatically get that RFP sent to you. Likewise, if you're registered with Chatham County or the school board, we recognize their certifications as well. I think that there is a mixture of A, the information being available, but also folks being able to have the acumen to get the information. I mean, I'm not going to call people and say, hey, you know, this RFP out. Mm-hmm. I think a part of being business is that, you know, A, you have to take some initiative to be able to register. And then it's, again, for us, if you're registered with any of our local entities, then we're going to also recognize your registration as well, which means you're registered with us. If we have an RFP going out, we'll also send that out as well.
Do you mind sending us that contact list?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can share with
them. Yeah, the codes that would fit under that. We would have no problem.
Yeah. We can release that and send an email to those local agencies as well. They might not be pre-registered with GDOT, but they can serve as like sub-consultant, right, especially DBE. Yeah.
Well, you did what I think we need to do. All right, is make sure that MPC, MPO, and City of Savannah and County and everybody else, Bloomingdale, Pooler, Port Wentworth, Effingham County, whoever. If we all are connected that way, as Mayor Johnson is saying, then the folks that we're talking about get that information too. All right. So now you know that you can connect with.
We try to get the contact list from the city.
All right. Yeah, we did. We good. All right. So now let me get a motion now to give them approval to go forth with the RFP on the second. Yes, ma'am. So what?
We lost your quorum.
Yes, John. Yes.
No, I gotta have a motion first.
Oh, so move.
Give me a second.
Second.
All right. Now, let's start all in favor. We start with Mayor Johnson in favor. He said yes. Come on, Lee.
Beckman, yes.
Cody, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Milton, yes.
Downs, yes. Proctor, yes.
And the chairman, yes. All right, that's one of the things we got to work on. We got to keep people here. All right. so that we can get through this, because we're going to need them to vote. There's some other voting got to go on, too, isn't it?
That one is a big one, so it's really important.
We got additional funds for that one as well. All right. Unless you mind, especially since the mayor, we got other things. We understand. You just need us a request to put out the RFP, right?
Yes.
For the bike, right? So somebody give me a motion.
A motion to authorize staff to issue RFP.
Count in second.
All right, proper motion and second that the RFP for the bike and pedestrian study go out. Ready for the question? Please cast your vote. Let's go to Jamea.
Johnson, yes.
Beckman, yes.
Cody, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Downs, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. Now, is there another?
That's it.
That was the final action item.
That's the last action item. So thank you very much.
All right. So, yeah, we just want to make sure, you know, because if you don't cut out enough time, you don't get this stuff done. But we can't do it. We can't vote on anything without a quorum. All right, now, so we did the bike, all right?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to other business now?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yes.
What other business do we have? We don't have any?
We don't really have other business per se, but we do have status reports.
Yes.
Yeah, I know we got to go to status reports, but I was just talking about it says other. All right, let's go to status for executive. And
basically, this is the
MTP. All this is information.
This is all information, and what we wanted to do was just show you very quickly that we were making this very, very, very user friendly for the general public to understand what is in our documents, and this is just a very high level overview of the MTP. So if we don't need to go into a lot of detail on that, could just show a couple of slides and move on from there to go on to the next one so that we can do the rest of our summaries. Thank you.
Great. And so we are in the process of putting together our visual executive summary, so taking a hundreds long page document, distilling it down to about 60 pages. And so, again, this is supposed to be visual, interactive, describe, you know, what the MTP is, what core MPO is, this planning process. And then once it is completed, we will have this translated into our three limited English proficiency, our LEP languages. As well. So this will be a great document that you all can share and our public can use. It is in draft form. So if you'd like to look at it past this meeting and provide any comments, we are open to that and it will be finalized soon. Thank you.
All right.
Madam, could you make sure that the information items, they're in on the website, aren't they?
The information items are on the website and they're on the website as well as, so that you can look a little bit more detail at what we've got presented here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, let's go on to non-motorized. Quick short version.
Okay, I'll give the short version. If you would like to know more info, this is attached to all of your agendas. So the non-motorized transportation plan is the bike and pedestrian plan for the core MPO area. And the goal of this plan is identifying new projects, assessing community needs, and setting new goals for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So we've done a lot of background work on the non-motorized transportation plan so far. We did have to pause the development of the plan because of the 2050 MTP, which is a required MPO document. And now we are restarting the process of finishing out that plan. So this slide describes what needs to be done to complete the plan, and you can read that. It's attached to the agenda. But we are targeting to adopt this plan in June of 2025. After that adoption in June 2025, we'll move on to working on the thoroughfare plan. And then later in 2027, after the completion of the bike and pedestrian facility study, we will include the findings of that study into the non-motorized transportation plan in the future. That's the quick version, but if there are any questions or comments, you can let me know and then read the full PowerPoint on the agenda.
They'll come to you in email.
Hmm?
Comments or questions will come to you in email form.
Okay.
All right. Federal certification, Wakola.
Okay, I will be really quick on this. We went through the federal certification review. Thank you, everybody who came to the meeting with FHWA. The draft report will be ready in January, and then after that, they will incorporate our comments and finalize the report by March 31st, and then FHWA will give a presentation at our April meeting. So we will let you know about that. And then I will also quickly touch on the next highway functional classification. At last meeting, you authorized us to send the request to GDOT for upclassify some roadways, and we received the GDOT okay, approve those, and Federal Highway approve those. So you can see all of our like Benton Highland, Rowland, Shell, Sunset, Pine Meadow, Harry Trail, Port Royal Road, all up classified. So they are now all eligible for federal dollars.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's go on GDOT.
Ah, not this one.
Okay, for our pre-construction statuses, we have the first one's 19-219, and we're still in the design phase for this project, but as an end-of-year little summary, it continues in design, but because the project's in alternative delivery, there's no schedule for the project as a whole, but the first minor piece of construction was completed last month, and a glare screen was built along the median barrier of the bridge, and the next piece of the puzzle is the prototype testing, and that should begin early next year. For the rest of the report, everything kind of remains in the same status. Most of it's PFPR. And for construction, active construction, everything is on the report. If there's any questions, I can give them one.
All right, any questions? Thank you, ma'am. Chairman County.
All right, hello again. I just wanted to provide some information on Chevis Road since that was asked previously. So the Chevis Road Improvement Project is primarily pedestrian improvements. This is going from US 17 to Wild Heron Road. We're doing a shared use path as well as a sidewalk for most of the project. We also have some traffic calming measures included in this project in the form of two roundabouts. One of them's a peanut roundabout. And if you're interested in seeing what that looks like, the conceptual project pages are available, engineering.chathamcounty.org, and we've got all those layouts. So if there's any additional comments as far as the status of that project, we are moving towards the preliminary field plan approval. We have that date set for January. Last week, we had the I-16 at Jimmy Deloach Parkway Interchange preliminary field plan review, so we're working towards approval on that one, too. All of these are moving forward as far as our local projects. We are the US 80 sidewalk project. We anticipate that construction starting in January and then moving forward with the Quaco Road widening project. Next goals for that will be getting it out to bid. Are there any questions on county projects? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's go on to City of Savannah. Well, they did leave you, huh?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board. Joseph Sherhouse with the City of Savannah. Brief update today. Project Duren, the revised public engagement plan has been submitted to the FHWA for approval. We're waiting on that approval plan to be submitted back. We hope to have that resolved by the end of this month and to have that plan executed going into 2025. De Lesseps LaRoche Avenue to Skidaway, the construction is 55% complete. We saw some significant paving taking place on that road and have reopened some access to De Lesseps. We look forward to this project being completed in July of 2025. Truman Linear Park Trail, a construction contract was awarded in February of this year, and clearing of the pathway continues to take place, including grading. We look forward to this project continuing to progress as we go into 2025. Middle Ground Road, which is also a segment of the Tide to Town project, a three-mile trail. This project is moving into design. The I-16 ramp removal project a contract has been finalized, a cooperation agreement between GDOT and the City of Savannah, and that contractor is in negotiations with the City of Savannah and GDOT to refine the scope. One last comment I'd like to make to the board is that moving forward in 2025, the city's Chief of Planning and Economic Development, Ms. Faye DeMassimo, will be the primary lead in coordination with the MPO. We're excited to have her experience at City of Savannah and look forward to her working with all of y'all next year. I will also be assisting in that, but it's important that she'll be the primary lead and be giving future updates next year representing the City of Savannah. I'd also like her to give a brief update on the micro study that was mentioned today for Bay Street. So thank you.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I've got two things I want to mention that you'll be hearing a bit about from us moving forward. One is I appreciate the work that we're doing with WCODA and MPO to include the micro-simulation modeling funding request and for the PL funding, that balance of PL funding that was mentioned earlier today as a future opportunity. We think that's going to be really important, especially with the tremendous amount of growth in logistics, activity, and also just the visitation activity that we typically see. It's an economic development project in that respect and a really important one. So we think that micro simulation step is going to be a real key to helping us understand what solutions might look like. Secondly, I also wanted to mention that Savannah is doing its first multimodal transportation plan. We look forward to working with everyone here, all the partners, and engaging in that. We are finalizing in the final steps of the procurement process now. It's called Savannah Moves, and that'll be kicking off after the first of the year. Look forward to working with you next year, and thank you very much.
All right. The HIP airport?
I don't think we have.
No, all right, let's move on. Chatham Area Transit.
Good morning, Chairman and Board. Mary Moskowitz, Chatham Area Transit. I want to mention one item that's not on my written report. On at the beginning of January, two ferry vessels which are being constructed in New York. We anticipate those to be completed and then shipped down here, so they will be down here at the end of January. As far as items on my report, just anything that is not deviates from the written report for the ferry boat dock facility. We do have the IFB. We anticipate having that issued by the end of this week. The paratransit maintenance facility, no changes from the written report. The electric bus replacement, no changes from that report. And on those marine electric charging stations, that was the item that you all just approved the TIP amendment for, so we appreciate that. That will keep us on schedule. Just to note, though, we are in conversations with Georgia Power, and it will take about a year for us to procure those transformers needed for that project. So that concludes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions? All right. Thank you. Let's go on the line. Are they here from South Carolina?
Where's the?
Are they on?
Where's the sender go?
I can reopen it. Is anyone from LATS online? Okay, report is attached. Oh, that's the end of the information reports.
All right. Other public comments? Notes? We're on you, Wakoda.
I think the only thing that we want to mention is the PROTECT grant.
Hi again, Anna McQuarrie, planner at the MPC and Core MPO. So the Core MPO is working on a grant for the Promoting Resilient Operations for Transformative, Efficient, and Cost-Saving Transportation Program, otherwise known as PROTECT. This is through Federal Highway Administration. And so right now this resilience improvement plan that we're applying for is really enhancing collaboration
in partnerships, and I am seeking out different partners and stakeholders in the region to help collaborate in writing what they would like to see in a resilience improvement plan, how they see bringing what they do into the transportation planning process, how we can integrate it further. If you'd like to follow up with any questions or you have any stakeholders you think would be important to get in contact with as we draft the grant, please contact me. And then we may be seeking letters of support from you all or from different groups mid to late January. There are also several infrastructure grants that maybe you all would be interested in planning for with construction costs, but we are applying for the planning. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Nothing else? All right. The next CORE MPO board meeting will be February 26, 2025 at 10 o'clock. Right? Move for adjournment.
So move, Chairman.
Second.
Probably motion second that we adjourn. Ready for the question? Everybody just say aye.
Aye.
Oh, okay. Thank you.